First, they are coming for the Jews, and then the Christians, and then for anyone standing in their way.
No one's being told what in the world's going on. For goodness sakes, if anyone just looks at the Middle East and sees what's going on with Israel, you would have to realize the ground is being set for all these end-time scenarios for the Middle East, for Israel. And I don't know how they're ignoring this. And how did they ignore October 7th? How did they ignore what's going on over there? And yet, the pulpits are silent about what's going on in Israel.
Welcome to Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. Radio for the Remnant, brought to you by Olive Tree Ministries. Today, Jan visits with two special guests about many timely topics. But how do we get our church pulpits engaged in these issues? Here is today's programming.
Let me start from the top. One of the things I think is contributing factor is the lack of eschatology among these pastors, because if you had eschatology as your basis of understanding, you would be able to lean in to what's going on around you, and things would start making sense and wouldn't be this chaotic mess. It would show you that things are falling in place. And let me tell you the stat. The stat on this is 98% of the pulpits, according to Lifeway Research, will not talk about eschatology whatsoever. And so that only means, Kurt, 2% of the pulpits in America are speaking anything eschatologically from the pulpit. The second aspect is the church growth movement problem. And the church growth movement problem, or the seeker-friendly model, excludes anything that goes on not only with prophecy, but anything that's going on in the culture. Because the MO is to not talk about anything controversial, which is ridiculous, right? I mean, that's our job, is to weigh in on the issues that Christians are tackling in their society. That model has taught pastors not to say anything at all in order to be seeker-friendly, to be evangelistic, and not upset people who are trying to maybe get closer to Christ and through their evangelism. The problem is the church on Sunday morning and Wednesday, or whenever you have church, is not for evangelism purposes. Evangelism happens outside of the church, not in the church. The church is for the edification of the saints. So the whole seeker-friendly movement, church growth model, flipped everything on its head to where you come into a church service and they teach at a kindergarten level and they're not going to talk about anything that would upset anybody. And then the third issue is nickels and noses. Now right. I'm getting a little bit more into the problem of why people don't talk about current events or issues is because they don't want to run their congregation off by tackling the issue of abortion, tackling the issue of gay marriage, tackling the issue of transgenderism or grooming children. They are worried about losing their money. They're worried about losing their congregation. And so it comes down to basically nickels and noses. And the last one, Kurt, that I will point out is cowardice. Absolutely. They are simply cowards because they don't want to discuss the issue because they know the ramifications that if they say something about it, people are going to get mad at them. They could be censored by YouTube. They can have all kinds of things negatively thrown at them, name calling, you're homophobic, you're Islamophobic, whatever. And simply comes down to that. That's my assessment after watching this for 25 years. And that's what really we're at.
So glad you can join me for today's programming and say we will take a look at just where America might be headed with its new leadership, President-elect Donald Trump and Vice President J.D. Vance. We'll take a look at it next week with my guests Alex Newman and Mark Henry. But let me just make a comment or two about our historic night just a few nights ago as Campaign 2024 came to a close. And first and foremost, thank you to all of you who voted. This was the appeal of so many of us to not let evil win by default, and you didn't. Because like me, many of you just said enough of being called names such as deplorable, enough of being called garbage, when in fact we are Christians, we are conservatives, we are patriots, and hardly fall under the category of garbage. We're tired of being mocked. We're tired of watching our number one ally in the whole world, Israel, being denigrated for the Islamic Republic of Iran, tired of the hate America sentiment, and just plain tired of leftist lunacy, tired of things such as all these thugs crossing our border, putting at risk the life of every American. So we'll talk about it extensively next week In the meantime, here's today's programming with Pastor Brandon Holthouse, who you've just heard from, this first segment of my programming today from Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, California. And he has an interesting online film that I'm going to be referring to and highlighting. But first, I came across an article that I found really interesting and happened to be posted on, I believe this was from the Christian Post, 80% of Protestant churchgoers want pastors to address hot topics, in other words, current events. I can't read the article, but just a couple of sentences here. 4 out of 5 Protestant churchgoers, U.S., believe pastors should address current issues, according to a new report. According to Lifeway, Protestants, 80%, again, believe a pastor must address current issues. And Scott McConnell, executive director of Lifeway, was quoted in the report as saying churchgoers are hungry to know what the Bible says about what on earth is going on. And Lifeway released a report saying that the percentage of Americans who see pastors, quite frankly, they talk about it here, endorsing a candidate in church as appropriate has risen steadily over the past 16 years. And of course, some of that is affected by that Johnson Amendment. We talked about that last week with Pastor Gary Hamrick. Brandon Holthouse, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Jan. Good to be on with you.
So you saw the article that I just was quoting from, and I don't think this surprises you, particularly in light of that opening clip that I just played of you.
Yeah, I saw that same article, and what's happening now is a mismatch between the leadership of the church and what's going on in the congregation. Look, people, Jan, understand there's stuff going on that's way bigger, way nefarious. They're seeing an evil that they have never seen before. And they're asking their churches and pastors, please define what this evil is. Please define what this chaos is. Please define this for me. And the pulpits are silent on the issue. Obviously, I gave in that one little clip about 4 different reasons why that's going on. And people will say, well, Brandon, that's a pretty large accusation against the swath of pastors. Well, it's like, well, here's my thing. I've been at this for 25 years, Jan. I'm an insider. I've been a pastor. It's not like I'm making this call from the outside. And just to let people understand, where am I getting my information is because I'm talking to pastors all day long. I'm talking to people in our circle that you and I know that are in the trenches with us, pastors, prophecy teachers. So I'm listening to them and getting their information. I'm also listening to my own congregation and people coming to my church driving 4 hours. And when they do, they drive from LA, they drive from San Francisco, they drive from Central Coast, and they all tell me the same thing. Their pastor won't talk about this. And then I'm coming from the online community that I have. And the online community, without a doubt, says the same thing. Their pastors refuse to talk about this. So when people get upset with me and they say, well, Brandon, that's a pretty bad accusation about nickels and noses, I want to say, look, I've been at this for 25 years. I know how the game is played. I know what these guys are doing. And if you think I don't know, then apparently I have no credibility after 25 years of dealing with these people. Look, Jan, I hate to say this, but my industry has fallen off the cliff. And when I am talking about my profession as a pastor, that it is a profession, and people need to understand that. People go to school for this. And what I've seen is a radical drop-off of leadership in the pastoral ministry. In fact, we have a major problem in Protestantism where anybody can get a degree or a license to be a minister. You can go to Vegas and get one, so you can marry and bury people. And we have a ton of people now in the pulpits that have been self-appointed and got their license to pastor online. And I want to say, wait a second, no one affirmed you. No one laid hands on you. You didn't prove yourself. You weren't tested like the scriptures say. And I'm not saying people have to go have a formal education. They can have an informal or formal education. I'm just saying, hey, man, you just don't get to start up a church in your garage and say, I'm the pastor now. Jan, that's happening at an all-time high now.
I'm glad you're apprising my audience of this. I suspect this is something they're not fully aware of. Part B of our discussion here is that they're also running from the topic of eschatology. The king is coming. I'm citing an article by our mutual friend here, Tom Hughes. He wrote this probably 5 years ago. It kind of made its rounds. Why the churches are avoiding this topic. He listed five reasons. Number one, the pastors, and you already alluded to this, they don't understand this issue, the topic. They may not be trained. They're afraid, number two, of offending people with the topic. We opened on current events. We have to make it dash Bible prophecy. I think number three, they sense that this will scare people, so they will toss the topic. Number four, they think that people might not tithe if we talk about things, suggesting things are so close to the end. And number five, perhaps the only legitimate comment they would have here would be, the pastors are afraid of looking like the Looney Tune fringe within eschatology. In other words, the Herald campings have done great damage, and I don't blame anybody for wanting to run from the Looney Tune fringe. So those are the five items he pointed out. And then, as you already cited, we have the theological reasons. Obviously, if you're amillennial, postmillennial, you're probably not going to align with what you and I are talking about today.
No, and Tom's totally right. I agree with him. I've seen that article. Yeah. And to add to that, you have a theological problem. Postmillennial, amillennial is not going to go along with that. Well, Jan, that dominates the mainstream church. Evangelicalism, if you look at a swath of what's the demographics, it reports to be about 17% of all Christendom in America. 77% of Americans claim to be Christian. So that 17% is claiming to be evangelical. The rest of them are claiming to be Catholic, mainstream, Protestantism, or whatever denomination. The majority of Christianity does not have a proper eschatology in order to interpret what's happening. So that probably is the biggest factor, Jan, is the theological one. But then there's another little twist I want to throw in there. You've given these other points, but this is something that I've talked to you about, I've talked to Tom about, and Billy and everyone else in our camp about what we have seen after October 7th.
Yeah, I'm just heading there, but go ahead. I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Okay. This was surprising, but after Israel was attacked on October 7th, we thought a lot of the churches in our camp that have our eschatology, that have our end times understanding, would rally around Israel, at least pray for them, do something, create a sermon, whatever. What we noticed was they were silent. And these are people from our own camp. And this has been, for the last year, what the online community has continued to tell me, what visitors to my church have continued to tell me, and what Tom and Billy and everyone else is saying, that all of a sudden, the issue of Israel came up and everyone went silent on.
So you didn't.
No.
So you actually produced a film, October 7th, Never Again. And you can find that. I think the best option would be perhaps YouTube, October 7th, Never Again. I'm sure it's on your various websites, Brandon, rockharborchurch.net, tipofthespearministry.com. So let's just play this from Brandon's production.
So, Danny, tell us some of the areas that we're going to see today and the audience can expect.
Well, the Hamas attack over here on October 7th, 23, it's already almost a year ago.
Yeah, wow.
Was against 30 different locations, but the most famous one is the Nova Music Festival site. And we're definitely going to film there. I want to take you to one of the kibbutzim.
Okay.
And show you at least through the fence some of the burnt houses and the atrocities that these kibbutz members witnessed. And the city of Sderot right there, which also faced a bloodbath, a malicious attack of the Hamas squads on these pickup trucks, and the casualties of these events.
Horrible. We're going to take you through these different areas. Danny's going to do all the talking. He's going to fill us in on what happened.
This is really hard today because it's a lot of family.
Yeah.
Usually when I come here during the week, it's visitors, it's solidarity, missions, and whatever. Today is a Shabbat, it's a weekend. And I can tell the difference. These are not just visitors, these are families that are using the weekend to come for a visit. So my name is Danny, but everyone calls me Danny the Digger, because I'm an archaeologist by education. And I became a popular tour guide, but I never thought that I would be doing tours and presentations of war topics. But this is Israel, and we have to face reality, which includes also wars, and in this case, the biggest terrorist attack in the history of our nation. On October 6th and 7th, a music festival production team decided to make a music festival just 5 kilometers away from Gaza, and in a big open field where the music for all night long will not be disturbing anyone. and realizing it's close to Gaza, they went through all the process and got all the approvals from the army. The army said, no, nothing, no threats and no problem. And they still had 40 policemen recruited, their own security team. Everything was done by the book. And everything seemed to be going well till 6:30 in the morning on October 7th, when people were dancing right here. This was the main dancing arena. The DJs were standing there behind this big sign, and everyone was having a good time with a little police headquarters and a few ambulances in the back. But then the sirens started going on in the area. This is an open field. There are no bomb shelters, no sirens. Now you have them, but not on that day.
Right.
But then they started seeing the rockets and the Iron Dome interceptions above their heads. People thought at first this is part of the party. It's the fireworks.
Oh.
But some people, and I'm mostly relying on a testimony of a friend of mine, a colleague, we're also related. His name is Amit Musayi. He's a tour guide that was in the party. And he said, I saw the interception and I told people, these are not fireworks. These are rockets. Let's get out of here. And he took the head of the security a while to go up to the stage and shut the music down and tell everyone to clear. But many people didn't believe it at first.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from California, Pastor Brandon Holthouse, Rock Harbor Church, Bakersfield, rockharborchurch.net, tipofthespearministry.com. And folks, if you'd like to see the things we show, we make a video version of this program. You can see everything, all these clips. We post these videos to YouTube, our Rumble channel, social media, and our website. Brandon, talk to me about this, because you've made this presentation October 7th, never again. How come?
The problem we had was, as you know, the media flipped the narrative,
yeah.
And so did the politics, and it demonized Israel. And all of a sudden, we got college campuses now chanting for Hamas and rooting for Hamas, yeah. And condemning Israel. I mean, it's insane. Okay, I expect that as part of the mainstream media, and I expect that of the crazy college campuses. But here's what ended up happening. The churches started buying into that propaganda as well. And we started seeing people posting stuff on their social media that was anti-Israel, pro-Hamas. And these are Christians doing this and doing it out of complete ignorance from being propagandized. We've been to Israel multiple times since October 7th, and the last time we were there in June, we decided to document everything about the attacks and then create a documentary that we could put out there for free and let everyone hear the truth about what happened and just have everyone send that out to anybody that's questioning what Israel has done to deal with Hamas or Hezbollah or whatever. Because unfortunately, I'm a little shocked the churches are not up on what's happening in Israel.
I know.
And so they end up buying into this propaganda that Israel's an occupier, they're an apartheid state, and they committed genocide against Hamas and the Palestinians, and they're committing genocide. It's like, whoa, time out. So that's why we decided, let's make a documentary, let's put the truth out, and at least we can do our part setting the story straight.
Find that easily on YouTube. Just type in October 7th, never again. I'm sure it's on rockharborchurch.net, tipofthespearministry.com.
Jan, we're just asking people, look, share this with people that don't have the right information. They've been listening to the wrong propaganda.
So you've been assisting Israel, and I think Olive Tree Ministries sent you some funds. I think Olive Tree bought a drone. Am I right? I think you should just explain to the audience just what is Rock Harbor Church doing?
Yeah, we have contacts in the IDF, and a lot of them are reserve units. Then a lot of the reserve units don't have the equipment that the active army has and the active IDF has. So the reservists are needing equipment. So what we have been doing is through our contacts is providing equipment like helmets, bulletproof vests, boots, and jackets for wintertime. Beef jerky. I know that sounds crazy, but they need beef jerky because they don't have a lot of beef jerky and they need that as a staple sometimes for snacks. We've been providing drones, and you helped weigh in on those drones. And what people need to understand is if you saw how they got Sinwar, Yahya Sinwar.
Yeah.
Okay. The drone that you bought, yeah. Jan, and the drones that we're buying are the drones that you saw fly in there, locate Sinwar, and identify him. And that saves Israeli soldiers' lives because they don't have to go in there and get into an exchange. They can send the drone in. The drone identifies if this is Hamas or whatever, and then they target that to eliminate that and neutralize that target. That has saved so many Israeli lives. Now, here's the thing. The drones don't last very long because what happens is the drone spots the enemy, and then the enemy will shoot at the drone, or the drone gets taken out because of Israeli fire. And so they're going through drones, but that's what we have been really providing a lot of, and you guys as well. And of course, that locates enemies and it saves Israeli lives. Now, here's the kicker on this. It's not just simply that. We're not just saving their lives physically, which is a fantastic thing. This opens the door for a spiritual conversation with the IDF.
Thank you. And I believe you even had a conversation with an Orthodox rabbi, but I want you to finish your thought.
Absolutely. And our whole goal in this is to lead Jewish people to the Lord, to the Jewish Messiah. And so we're using this help as a springboard to share the gospel with them. And what has been a remarkable thing, Jan, is in a lot of these units, we're working through Messianic believers. These are Jewish believers in the IDF. And what's happened is as we supply the contact in the IDF unit, which is a Messianic believer, will then explain to them why this particular church is doing what they're doing, because they're not used to seeing this. They're used to seeing what happened after October 7th. The ministries in Israel fled. They left Israel, which was a horrible witness to the Jewish community. So it brings them to tears. And then we tell them, hey, we're doing this because of Yeshua. And these are the Christians that love you and want to support you. It's led to conversations about the gospel. I mean, one of the hostage guys that got the last four hostages out, the guy is on the verge of converting to Christianity because it has made such an impact on him. So I think he's close. It's like Nicodemus, so to speak. And at the same time, it has opened up conversations with me, with rabbis. I am providing security here for one local synagogue when they have their Shabbat and when they meet. It's opened up a conversation with him that would never have happened. And then in LA, we're also supporting an IDF unit that's full of Orthodox kids. Now, here's the thing. These kids have been kicked out of their homes because Orthodox don't serve. So they have left their home and the parents won't let them back in. We're helping those kids get trained after they're done with the IDF and their living conditions so they can stay somewhere and make a living for themselves because they can't go back home. That has opened a door for me to be able to speak to rabbis down in LA. And next week, I'm being invited to speak at a synagogue and to explain to them why I'm doing what I'm doing as this Gentile. Why would this Gentile want to help them out? And so I'm going to go into a synagogue and explain to them the reason I'm doing this is because Yeshua told me to do this.
Wow. You said to me, you're asking people to become modern day Corrie Ten Booms. What did you mean by that?
What's happening, Jan, as everyone has seen, is the worldwide anti-Semitism is ramping up. And again, you and I always say this, we could be raptured tonight. Yeah. But if we're left here longer, what we're going to see is rampant anti-Semitism all over the country. We see it in Europe already. What we're trying to do is put in motion an alliance of churches and pastors and rock-solid believers who would be willing to help Jewish people out if it got that bad here in our country. And I'm teaming up with Olivier Melnick and Tom Hughes, and we're working on this now as, hey, if it gets really bad, what would we do? Well, like I'm doing with our local synagogues, I've reached out to the rabbis. Hey, man, do you need any help? And that's the beginning of it. But Jan, I don't know how bad it could get. It could get as bad as Europe. And what's happening in Europe is unbelievable anti-Semitism from the left and the right over there. But it's going to happen here, too. And this stuff's not going away. It was uncovered, and now we see it. And so now it's time for the Corrie Ten Booms of the world to rise up, to not just stand in the gap and be pro-Israel, but actually do something about it and take action. Reach out to your neighbor that's Jewish. Reach out to your local synagogue. Start putting your theology in motion. If you're pro-Israel, you need to start stepping up. You need to start reaching out to the Jewish people and saying, I've got your back. I'll do anything to protect you. Don't worry about it.
Don't you think this is a run-up, and we've actually talked about this before, run-up to the tribulation where this will be 24/7 every day happening during that time of Jacob's trouble, this terrible, terrible persecution of the Jews, but we're in a setup stage now.
Absolutely, man. And that's the thing that I'm a little overwhelmed with is the fact that I didn't think I would see this part of the setup.
Exactly.
And it's happening, Jan. And I made a statement last Wednesday on a prophecy update, and I pointed out, eventually the only safest place will be for a Jew is to be in Israel. And I find that amazing because, as you know, and our audience knows, prophecy predicts that God will call all Israel back to Israel. Mm-hmm. And so you have a good portion of the Jewish population here in America. Okay, let's just play this out. If the prophets predict they're coming back to the land, how is God going to get, I don't know, half the Jewish population out of America back into Israel? Well, I think I already see it. It's anti-Semitism.
But here's the thing, Brandon, and I don't want to interrupt you, but I want you to complete your thought here, because what you say, I actually have a clip of you saying it, we're not going to take time to play it, the globalists and others, they're after the Jews first, but then it's the Christians.
As people don't realize, they think, well, that's an Israel problem. It's like, no, it's a people of the book problem.
Thank you.
And what we see in history, Jan, is Israel's always the canary in the coal mine. Yeah. They're always the first one to be attacked, but they're not the only ones attacked. They're going to come after the Bible-believing Christians, and that's what everybody in Christendom needs to wake up to. If you see what's happening in Israel and they're being attacked by Hezbollah, Hamas, Iran, all those, look, if Israel doesn't defend themselves and take care of business over there, we are next. I mean, Iran has already said that we are the great Satan. And if people want to get a clue, look at the globalists, what they're doing. They're destroying the West. They're destroying the Judeo-Christian element of society, and that includes Christians. So my thing is, look, Christian, if you're not going to defend Israel right now, then that means you're not going to have anyone defending you. Jan, you know that quote from Niemöller, I think it was. They came for the socialists, and I wasn't a socialist, and it goes down, and they came for me, and there was no one left. Well, guess what, Christian? That's what's going to happen if you don't stand up right now and fight for Israel.
So you can check out Pastor Brandon Holthaus' Church Finder Locator. You got a few hundred churches on it. How many now, Brandon, on your church locator?
200 or 300. We had to reduce it after Israel because they wouldn't support Israel.
RockHarborChurch.net to find the church finders. 200-300 churches that Rock Harbor Church is enthusiastically recommending. We wish there were 2,000 or 3,000. And then learn more at tipofthespearministry.com. Brandon, we're going to stay in touch. I so appreciate all that you are doing. Genesis 12:3 is playing out in your life, in your ministry, in your church. And that's one of the reasons that we want to so ardently support you and encourage my audience to do the same. We're going to stay in touch, Brandon.
Thank you so much, Jan. Appreciate it.
When I come back, I'm going to continue on with this theme with another very special guest. Please don't go away.
We hope you'll stay in touch with us online through olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. You can call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Write us through the mail at Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. That's Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. In this age of fake news and false teaching, thank you for trusting Understanding the Times Radio and Olive Tree Ministries. Understanding the Times Radio has been watching things fall into place now for more than 23 years. Thank you for your faithful financial and prayer support. We air coast to coast in the U.S. on almost 1,000 radio stations, in Canada, and around the world electronically. We thank you for your letters, emails, and calls of encouragement. We try to blend the inconvenient truth, news, and information, and a perspective from a Christian worldview into a short weekly format. And we can hardly keep up with stories breaking hourly to understand that our times are like no other, and we try to break them down for you. If you miss a program, try to access it electronically on our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. There you will find both the video and audio version of Understanding the Times Radio. and always look up. He is coming again, perhaps today. Even the Bible calls that our hope.
I would say that in the last year, I felt as I've been praying that the Lord has spoken to me and said, be open to the supernatural. Because it's easy to try to keep this nice and keep this historical and keep it different. Yes. But I think that what we're facing is things that we had no idea. And if you go to a movie theater, by the way, the demons and the films that are coming out, the demonic is entertainment.
We know you can't always be by a radio. So if you miss a program, visit our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. And then go to radio, where we feature both the audio and video version of our program. You can also catch the program at oneplace.com, on our Rumble or YouTube channel, on all of our social media, and on his channel, Christian TV. In our closing segment, Jan talks to filmmaker Tim Mahoney about a forthcoming film dealing with the epicenter of end time activity. Here is Jan Markell to introduce it.
And I have a sense right now that we need to make this next film quickly. And it's really about Israel. In some ways, it's about the prophecies of Israel. And these are ways that God is testifying to the truth of His Word. And we think about the word New Testament or Old Testament. A testament is really a testimony. God has inspired men, and all of them are coming from the nation of Israel. All the books of the Bible were inspired to Jewish writers, and they are writing down the testimony of God. And the first five books of the Bible were written by Moses. And we think about that. But there are warnings, and there are clues, and there are things that should prepare our hearts and our minds. And so I believe, as I was thinking and praying about, well, what are we doing when we're making these films? And there were two words that came after weeks of thinking and praying. And one word was remembrance. And you know, Steve, I don't know how many times, but it says, do not forget what God did by bringing you up out of Egypt.
Repeated over and over in the Psalms and the prophets, and the prophets were calling people to come back because the people were disobeying.
Yep.
And they were warning them, hey, God's going to keep His word. He said you would be defeated and scattered if you went down this path. And they were pleading with the people to come back to the covenant, but they would not.
Where we're at a place today now is that there, sadly, there's still, this is the Jewish story, but there's many Jewish people who basically don't think that any of this is true. There's this verse in the Bible that says, these are the apple of God's eye. He chose them to be His nation, to be His people. And they were called to be His people so that they could actually be like the priest. They were the ones to communicate who God was to the whole world. In fact, I shared this with Rabbi Hartman. I shared this with him. I said, you know, God chose to reveal Himself to Israel at Mount Sinai so that they would reveal who He was to the world. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what's happened. None of us would know about God or how creation happened if it wasn't for the scriptures that were written down by Jewish people. The Lord revealed who He was and His plan over the centuries. Mm. The other word that I had received was forewarning, remembrance and forewarning. And I think that we're living at a time right now where people are playing with fire. The Bible talks about that at the end of the age, that what we think is going to be going on and on and on, God's got His own timetable.
Welcome to part two of my programming today. And I'm going to introduce you to a new film produced by filmmaker Tim Mahoney. He produces the incredible Patterns of Evidence films that you see in theaters on DVD and elsewhere. And his newest presentation is The Israel Dilemma. And I have seen this production, and you can see it at a forthcoming showing in theaters across the country, patternsofevidence.com. The dates would be November 13th, 14th, and 17th. Let me just play the quick trailer of the new presentation, then we'll come back and I'll talk to Tim.
But your name shall be Abraham.
I also antagonized a lot of people by recognizing the state of Israel as soon as it was formed.
Where is your title to the land? He said, he held up the Bible. He said, here's the title. You don't lose your right to your home because somebody kicked you out.
The Torah came before the land. It's not by accident.
Patterns of Evidence Foundation presents.
The covenants are what holds the storyline together.
a film that asks if God made a covenant with the children of Israel.
God's covenants are everlasting. There will be other things disappearing from the natural cosmos before I break my covenant. I will never break my covenant.
The God of Israel cares about all human beings, and therefore in the caring for Israel, he's expressing his love and concern for all humanity.
What evidence remains today?
Well, David is part of the history of early Israel, which has been maligned for some time because there was not solid archaeological evidence. That's all changed in the last decade.
Debate rages over the truth of biblical prophecy.
So they collect all these traditions, stories, myths, theological stories, and so on. We are dealing with the traditions.
The scriptures predict events hundreds, sometimes thousands of years off into the future, and they do so with a reliability that is breathtaking.
What will the pattern reveal?
If they break the covenant,
yes,
there are consequences.
That's right. Before you get out of the Pentateuch, the whole basic plot line is there.
Patterns of Evidence, The Israel Dilemma.
Tim Mahoney, welcome back to the studio.
Great to be here. Thank you, Jen.
Tim, why do you call this the Israel Dilemma? Explain.
If we look at the nation right now of Israel, they're surrounded by enemies. In many cases, it's a dilemma for them in a one way. But as I looked at this investigation more clearly and more closely, there's a dilemma for the world. The Bible says those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse will be cursed. Well, what does that mean? Is there any truth to that? And that's what this film is looking at, is there actually a covenant that God has made with the people of Israel? And if so, how could we investigate that?
Well, you said, and I think we even played the clip of you so stating, you felt such an urgency to get this film produced. Why?
This, for me, started in 2007.
Yes.
In fact, I was with the late Paul Ridgway. We were at his office, and I had a film that was on the Exodus, and I thought it was all done. And Paul went up and read a letter from Joel Rosenberg. And it was how Israel should be responding, because guess what? Missiles were being shot into Israel around that time. And Paul said, if this film that you have, and it wasn't the one that I ended up with, but he said, if it's released, or if you're going to do any promotion, you need to do this out of Israel. And as he said that, another man, Leonard Moeller, said, yes, Israel. And at that moment, there was a sense like a wave that came through the room. It was something I'd never experienced in my life. And I recorded it, and we talked about this in the past. Everybody felt it. And wave after wave came over. It felt like it went over your shoulder and out past your other shoulder, sort of down the conference table. And at the end of that, all I knew was that we weren't done with this film and that I needed to go to Israel. And I hadn't thought about it, but here I'd made a film about the Israelites leaving Egypt, but I never talked to anybody in Israel about it. And that's when I went to go to Israel, and that's when I got the interviews with Benjamin Netanyahu and Shimon Peres.
I've seen the film, and you've got some familiar faces and voices in it. Of course, everyone probably knows Randall Price, and you even have Pat Boone, longtime great friend of Israel, Pat Boone. And an interesting clip there, I think we heard of Harry Truman, and President Truman way back in 1948 paid quite a price for endorsing the nation of Israel at that time. He even had a State Department that said, don't do this, it'd be the biggest mistake of your life. He just said, nuts to you, we're going to endorse this new state. So I'm glad you have so many historical clips in this.
Yes, I didn't even know they existed at times, you know, when you start doing research. But we try to do research and we try to hear from different points of view. But the real question about this film is really, what is the pattern that we would look for? And what we started to look for was the covenant. Does God have this covenant with the nation? And Moses identifies that and he tells them, the people of Israel, he says, you will have a kingdom. God's going to give you this kingdom. But in the future, he talks about blessings and curses. And if you don't follow the Lord, there's going to be curses. And he says, if you break this covenant, the kingdom will be destroyed. The people will be scattered. They will be uniquely persecuted. But God will be faithful and he will gather them back. They'll return to the land. And that's what we started to look for.
I'm going down just a little bit different path here, same topic. But you told me, and I'm quoting you now, that organizations won't touch this. And by the way, folks, we carry this product. But again, what I'm talking to Tim about right now is there are organizations that want nothing to do with your film. They don't want to deal with apparently end times. You say creation outfits aren't interested in this. Help me understand this.
I think what people are nervous about is end time
prophecies, okay. coming back, trying to get into eschatology. Yeah, I think that it's hard to deal with Israel and not be talking about...
Exactly.
Well, that's the second film. By the way, this is a two-part investigation.
Yeah.
This is a complete film. This film is called Patterns of Evidence, The Israel Dilemma, Ancient Prophecies. So we establish this. And in this film, we're going to be telling the story of the Kingdom of David. We're going to be talking about Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, King Hezekiah. And we're going to be talking about what happens when they break the covenant and a Sennacherib comes down in the kingdom and people are carried away and God spares Hezekiah. We've got great recreations of this. No one has ever, to my understanding, ever in the history, put all this information together.
Oh, it's incredible. The film, the costumes, everything is just stunning. Here's just a real short clip. This is, again, the great Randall Price talking to Tim Mahoney.
But there was more. I traveled to Israel's Shrine of the Book Museum with Randall Price to view the oldest known copy of the Book of Isaiah, which was part of the famous Dead Sea Scrolls discovery.
So it's an entrance into a cave.
Yes, that's what's reproduced artistically to give you that sense. And then articles that have been hidden in the caves are in the display cases.
Yeah.
He led me to the central chamber where the Isaiah scroll is housed.
This is beautiful, the way this scroll wraps around.
It's the great Isaiah scroll. There were 21 copies of Isaiah found among the Dead Sea Scrolls. Mm-hmm. This is the best preserved and the intact and entire book of Isaiah.
I understand that Isaiah made some amazing prophecies.
God wanted to authenticate himself to a reasonable person who looks at the text of Scripture and says, if this was said before the event and it's fulfilled this exactly, you know, and Isaiah has these wonderful exact prophecies, one concerning Cyrus the Great, named by name 150 years before his birth.
Who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall fulfill all my purpose, saying of Jerusalem, she shall be built, and of the temple your foundation shall be laid. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him.
If we have this kind of thing in Scripture and no one else can duplicate it, mm-hmm. then this is indeed the Word of God and must be believed and obeyed.
You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio, Jan Markell. Heaven Studio, filmmaker, producer, Tim Mahoney, because we carry his newest production. Please listen up. We don't have it for a couple of weeks. Obviously, that would be The Israel Dilemma, Patterns of Evidence, The Israel Dilemma. You'll find it in my store. But before that, you can go see it November 13th, 14th, and 17th. You got to get the info at patternsofevidence.com, patternsofevidence.com. And let me just say that my new book, When Jesus Returns, Living in the Expectation of the End Times, it's out Tuesday, November 12th, a compilation of about 15 of the best messages from my Understanding the Times conferences over the years, forward by Amir Sarfati, contributors Jack Hibbs, Mark Hitchcock, Ed Heinzen, and more. You can find it at olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, online Tuesday, November 12th, When Jesus Returns. And then we have, we're speaking of Israel this hour a lot, Olive Tree is now directly helping Israel with medical supplies, soldier and family trauma care, PTSD counseling, etc., much more. We're working directly with people on the ground in Israel, so if you would like to be a part of Olive Tree's Israel project, again, olivetreeviews.org, and go to donate, and you'll follow the instructions there. Tim Mahoney, let's be really honest here. What we're talking about this hour, because my first part of the program is similar. A lot of churches won't touch this. Again, not interested, or replacement theology, the church is the new Israel. How do you deal with that? Here you come along with a historical product, solidly biblical from beginning to end, and I've seen it. And yet we're going to have churches, again, they're going to say either we're not interested or we strongly disagree. How do you handle that?
Well, I think that so many people today are biblically illiterate.
They are.
And part of what I'm doing, and I have to say that I'm learning as I go along in these investigations. And what the process is what does the Bible say? And I pretty much stick to that. And then how do we understand this?
Yeah.
And I think understanding the times is a wonderful principle. because that's really what we're called to do. So I thought that in the making of this film, and you've asked the question, how do I handle this? Yeah. I felt that I had to be obedient in this particular case. And I've learned in my obedience, if there's something I'm supposed to do, I actually need to start on it right away, because I can forget or get busy or get distracted. When what happened last year with the attack in Israel,
yes,
knowing that I had these interviews in the vault, knowing that there was a great rise of anti-Semitism, and I'm thinking, do people understand history? I guess they don't. They don't understand the Bible. They don't understand any of this. And that's why I think that this film is to be a remembrance and forewarning to basically help people understand the times. Is there evidence for this? And why? And how do I know this? And I think that that was my responsibility to make this film. The second film that's just coming next year will continue to carry on this understanding and bring us to modern times.
And I think your part two, and we're just dealing with part one because that's what's finished at this time, you're going to deal with this rise of anti-Semitism, what's going on in the college campuses, which is nothing but shocking.
Yes, and it tells me that there's a supernatural component to this, because it's not natural. We don't pick on the Eskimos throughout the centuries or different groups, the Swedes or Nigerians. It seems to be the Jewish people. Why is this? And I think that even people that go to church, most of them spend their time in the New Testament. They don't quite understand how we got here. And so that is part of what this, for my own clarity, I have to make the film so that I have clarity. And the pattern is amazingly powerful and strong. Now, here's another thing. We have it in theaters. It's the 13th, 14th, and 17th. And it's important. Why is it important? It's important because we're in the public. You need to support public endeavors. Look what's playing in theaters. It's so dark. And that's the reason why we need to have support. We have group sales, by the way.
Okay.
You can bring a group and get a discount. If you go to the page, patternsofevidence.com, when you get to the ticket section, look for the group sales. Invite your Bible study group, your Sunday school class, your whole congregation, or whatever. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Sunday showing. So that's why this is important.
Folks, get behind this, would you? What Tim just said, and you know, I'm going back to October 7th, 2023, just for a moment. I think that day, Tim, let's be honest, the whole world was stunned because we got acquainted with a new form of barbarianism that I'm not sure much of the free world was aware of. They certainly don't understand it, nor do we want to understand it. It's so terribly dark. I sensed demons were unleashed that day, not just on Israel, possibly on the whole world, because the whole world has taken a very dark turn since October the 7th of last year. Do you get that sense too, the demonic?
I would say that in the last year, I felt as I've been praying that the Lord has spoke to me and said, be open to the supernatural, because it's easy to try to keep this nice and keep this historical and keep it different.
Yes.
But I think that what we're facing is things that we had no idea. And if you go to a movie theater, by the way, the demons and the films that are coming out, the demonic is entertainment. So this is the reason why I'm hoping that your audience will come and support this, because there are other audiences and other narratives that are growing out there. And one thing I realized is that God created us for stories. Mm-hmm. We learn and we calibrate our lives according to stories. Mm-hmm. And if you don't understand the biblical narrative, you are not going to be calibrated properly. And so there are other calibrations that are going on that are not from this, that are dark and that are evil, and that people are being calibrated in that way. But God gave us the story so that we would understand where we came from, how we were created, and we've got this large narrative that God is trying to communicate to us. That's why these things are important.
Another clip from the film. This is the voice of Pat Boone.
We can go outside the Bible. We can go to secular history, to archaeology, and so forth and so on, and see that, in fact, yes, the prophecy did take place. We find confirmation for scriptural prophecies outside the scriptures themselves. They depict the design of God in history, a design that transcends the mere notion of the Bible says so. No, the Bible says so, and it happened.
The Bible says God demands faith from us. Faith, believing things that may not be humanly possible. And he says without faith it's impossible to please him. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we're expected and demanded to believe things that we haven't seen and that seem impossible, and yet he gives us evidence. And the people of Israel tended to be, like most human beings, tended to be rebellious and forgetful and to try to make excuses for not obeying God and gradually let other things seep in. And God would perform miracles and deliverances and things like this to woo them back. This is God's promise to one man and to one people. And he makes the same promises to us. They were examples to us now, today.
Any comment on what he said here?
Well, I think that God is telling us what he's going to do. And God is outside of time and space. And I think if there was an argument for people to be conscious of something, is that we were invited to exist. And we came into this existence. And that's the concern that I have. I don't think people really quite understand. They think they just got here, but we were allowed to come into God's existence. And there are laws of the universe, I've talked about this, that people don't really understand. And one of them is the law of sin and death. There's a big understanding that needs to be communicated to more people.
And you illustrate this very well, because there's the ancient pattern, and God explained exactly what he was going to do with Israel, what was going to happen to them historically. They would be scattered. They would be persecuted. It's all in the Bible. He says, I'll bring you back. And there's coming a time when I'm really going to bring you back. And it's going to be the final time, which we all believe happened in 1948. And I think the point that you're making, and the one that I want to emphasize in the minutes that we have left, is the story of Israel is that God is true to his word. Yeah. He keeps his promises. He keeps his promise to the Jew. He keeps his promise to the Christian.
God's word is true. In fact, I believed the whole time when I was growing up and everything, but I now know what it's like to have a crisis of faith, too, during this investigation. And there might be people out there right now listening to us that they're not sure if God's word is true, and they're not sure if he's faithful or if he can forgive, or they might have guilt. But God's word is true, and that's the reason why I think in all, when I talked about story, that there's narratives that are going on, and we have to be careful what we listen to and what we hear and what we see. Because they're contrary narratives to what God's word is. And that's where I think getting back to the scriptures is so critical. And I'm asking the audience to come with me on this journey, on this film. And in a very short time, 2 hours, you're going to pretty much have an establishment from creation all the way through much of the Old Testament, that you're going to understand the way, according to scripture, the world is.
And you've made so many films, Tim. How many now, total?
In this category, Patterns, this is the 7th Patterns of Evidence film.
Patternsofevidence.com. Folks, that's where you need to get tickets and all the info. You did make a film on the Ark of the Covenant. Your purpose in that film was not, where is it? You were looking at the historical angle of the Ark of the Covenant, but kind of a different path here. Where might the Ark be? I think the Bible indicates it might be under the Temple Mount.
Yes. Well, the film I made was Journey to Mount Sinai, and then along the way, they built the Ark. Asking that question, and there are different theories that people have, but Jeremiah tells us that they hid the Ark. Mm-hmm. So the question, if we get into that part of the investigation, which we might in the future, is where did they hide it? And what are the caverns, and where could it be? And could it be hidden for a time in the future when it needs to come out?
And I think it will come out. In the millennium, I don't know, but I think it will come out. That's why I think it's probably under the Temple Mount, but some say it's in Ethiopia. Some say it's in heaven. Maybe it is. Maybe God will bring it back down during the rapture. I don't know. It's just something interesting to think about. We got a minute or two left, Tim. If you want to sum up anything or talk about the film, I want you to take your time and do that. Again, the showings are November 13th, 14th, and 17th. And tickets to be available at patternsofevidence.com. I recommend you get a group and bring them out. You got a Sunday there. Enjoy the Sunday afternoon watching this film. Tim, why don't you wrap it up?
It's important for people to really make a concerted effort to buy the tickets now. Because the theaters, if they don't see tickets being sold, they're going to put something in that theater. And it might be a horror film. So buy the tickets now. My thought is that the Lord is coming, right? Prepare the way of the Lord. That was John the Baptist. Prepare the way of the Lord. And in prophecy, there are oftentimes, what I'm seeing is that there's a near fulfillment and then there's a further along fulfillment. Here we are with a film that's talking about God's relationship and how he's working with this group of people. And they seem to be the prototype of how God is working, so we can see his activity. So here we are, and I think that this film is going to give a very important basis for Christians today, because Israel is not going to leave the news anytime soon.
Amen. Thank you for saying so. So, folks, we'll have a lot more election discussion next week here on Understanding the Times Radio. Obviously, waiting to see how some things play out. So as I go out of the program, let me just say here that the number of Christians today who, quite frankly, even dismiss and disregard what we've talked about in today's programming is growing at a staggering level. I mean, the love story between God and Israel helps us grasp the character of God. As we learn of his enduring compassion and mercy toward his people, then we better understand his compassion and mercy towards us. And remember, if God could break his covenant with Israel, he could break his covenant with the believer. But that is not his character. He is a covenant maker and he is a covenant keeper. And I want to thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Contact us through our website, olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We get our mail when you write to Olive Tree Ministries and Jan Markell, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. All gifts are tax deductible. Be assured that nothing is out of control, because God is always in control. He is the loving shepherd giving his life for the sheep. He orchestrates all things to play out so that all that is predicted can fall into place.